You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside Matt Modica and the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. I am Greg Sussman. Maddie Mo, what's going on?
I'm doing good. Baseball's back. It's a beautiful thing. All-in kid looking like the legend warrior, I guess, on the screen. Pretty cool.
What's up, Jakey?
What's going on? No idea what Matt's talking about.
Some video games playing.
We got some video games on in the background instead of your beautiful eyes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something about the fact that we're all wearing gray today.
We didn't. Matt's wearing black.
No, I got a gray hat.
That's a gray hat. All right. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Jake?
It was a weekend. That's about it.
All right. Well, seems positive as always. Matt, how was your holiday weekend?
Oh, it was awesome. Like I said, baseball, number one. Family, number two. Watch Ten Commandments, greatest story ever told. So, biblical weekend, rightfully so.
Yes, it was a biblical weekend for me as well. Of course, two nights of Passover, and the best part was a whole lot of baseball involved in that Passover. Whole lot of baseball. I was just telling Matt before we started, Jake, that you know I was at my my girlfriend's parents' house, and they don't have the MLB package or whatnot, which is totally cool, of course. I had MLB Network on for hours and hours and hours. It was awesome. And Jake, you almost forget how much you miss baseball when it's gone.
The package is free for the first couple of days. You could have watched it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it, to be honest with you.
It's free for the first. To be honest, though, this is, I forgot. So I did go see Ready Player One over the weekend.
How was it?
I gave it an 8. I get it 8.5 out of 10, and I'll give it the point and a half bonus to get it to 8.5.
Yeah.
Is because it's a nostalgia splooge fest.
Right.
So
of course.
Outside of that, the movie itself probably a 7 out of 10. People saying like, "Oh, this character development wasn't there."
But right.
You're not going to this damn movie for character development. You're going to it to have fun. It's an action movie. That's what it is, and it's a pop culture reference from the last 10 years. A little bit plus. I mean, obviously, there's people are telling me that the book doesn't have stuff like Halo and stuff like these. You know, those are only with the recent couple of years.
So there's stuff from the last 10 years in the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's actually a lot of stuff.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'd like to read the book, but at this time in my life, if it's not like baseball, football related, I'm pretty much not reading it.
I read the book a couple of years ago, so I was really excited for the movie. But I don't like
Ultraman's not in it.
I don't like that there's Halo references or stuff from like the 2000s because this book I have no idea how it is in the movie. But the guy that created this like virtual reality world was like all about the 80s, right? So I don't want any references to freaking Halo.
No, that's not why it's in there.
Okay.
They're in there because they're the avatars that people chose. So it's just, they didn't change it like that. It's still 80s is the guy who created it. You still, all the stuff that I won't spoil anything, that references him and things around him in the 80s and 90s, that's all still there. It's just some of the avatars for the battles and the race and stuff like that are more updated for newer stuff. There's some newer stuff thrown in there, but that's just because it's like what they can choose inside their virtual reality. But so I saw that over the weekend, but I was going to say back to baseball is people ask me this all the time. Like, which do you like more, baseball or football? And well, you're always number one in baseball. Like, which is it? It seems like you love baseball. I'm like, it's always been about the same. This is the first year, despite the fact that the Mets won two out of three to start the season. I thought so to begin with, but this weekend confirmed it. I'm definitely more football than baseball at this point.
All right, so there you go. That's very, very interesting. Let's get into some of the waivers from this past week because I haven't gotten a chance to talk to either of you guys about it. I know Modica, Frank was texting you last night in regards to probably the number one most interesting piece on the waiver wire, which is Hunter Strickland, right? Like, it was like, how much do you spend on Hunter Strickland? And we were talking about it in our league, how much we wanted to bid. And his initial number out of 1,000 was 277. I wanted to go up to 302. I'm sorry, his first number was 227. I wanted to go up to 302. We had settled in the middle of that 277. Mm-hmm. All right, 27% or so. We thought there was a fair number. We'd be very comfortable if we got him at that number. It wasn't outrageous. For you, where did Hunter Stricker go? How much did you feel comfortable putting down?
Well, Frank texted me, and I responded 33 to 40% is probably what you were going to need to do to get him. I went hard after him. I wanted him. I think it's the perfect scenario. I think Melanson's toast, even if he comes back. I don't trust him. It's the possibility of this guy being a closer for the entire season, which is really the allure here. And I bid consistently anywhere from 330 to 367.
Okay.
I got him in like four leagues. I was outbid in two leagues. It had to be the same guy. I had a 367 bid. I was runner-up. The winning bid was 497 in each of those that I lost that hour.
All right.
But I tried to persuade my partners in the leagues I was partners with to be more aggressive. They're like, well, you know, first week of Feb in most leagues, you know. My point was this is the opportunity to have him for six full months.
That's, Jake, exactly what we talked about, of course, on Friday's program. Now, in the leagues that you were in, Jake, how much did he wind up going for?
I lost a tiebreaker.
Wow.
$24 in labor out of a $100 budget. So.
Interesting. So 24, okay.
Could have got him for 25, but the thing was, is I was this was the same league where I had to blow a ton of my early fab,
right,
because I didn't have players at positions that got hurt because we drafted back in the second week of February, and I needed to make sure I actually had a full lineup. So I only had $35 left, and that's why I went with 24, because I was also going for panic for two because I needed a middle infielder because Devin Travis isn't playing every day. So I was making that move as well. So I was like, I can't leave myself with only like $5 to start the season, but if I went to 25, I could have had him.
Yeah.
What I was most happy about with bids that I did win on, I won them by like, you know, $20, $25. So it was like, you know what? I didn't grossly overbid. Look, I bid a lot, but I gave the reasons why, and I didn't, like, you know, overbid by $100 or something,
yep,
like that.
So in my league, in the big GDD, you had Hunter Strickland wind up going for $41 in our league. The next highest bid was $35. So relatively close there out of the $100 budget.
You have $0 bids?
We do. We do.
Okay, see, I can see the 30s and 40s for that. The labor, we don't, so
right.
I think that's why we were more in the 20s, because there was another person that bid 20, and then the rest were in the teens.
Yeah, so completely reasonable. We have $0 bids. It was 41, then 35, 32. We got a bidding 28. It wasn't enough. Jake, who do you think was the, outside of Hunter Strickland, who was the other most important guy you could be out there in leagues or in your leagues, let's say labor, who is the one guy out there other than Hunter Strickland that's worth talking about?
Most of them are already gone, so you don't want to use labor. Labor's, I mean, we're already picking up the other people, like, I just forgot his name, the guy that's got the save yesterday for the Angels.
Middleton.
Thank you. Middleton. Yeah, I was thinking Chris Middleton. I couldn't think of his first name. So, yeah, I mean, there's one right there that people already went aggressively. I threw $2 on him. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I get, he went for $9. So that, like, to use for labor, you know, that's, it's not best. What I would say more in your standard leagues that people right now, not everybody had a waiver that ran after the first 3 days of the season. So there's still a lot of people picking up Matt Davidson. Matt Chapman didn't get drafted in a lot of the 12 team leagues. So I think those are the bigger names that you're looking at right now, where they're, those are the ones that the people we already talked about before, along with Strickland.
Keenan Middleton in my league went for $3. Frank and I bid a buck on him just to have him. The interesting thing to me.
See, I never bid a buck. I always bid like two.
Okay.
There's always going to be
someone that throws a buck in, yeah. The interesting thing about Middleton here, Matt, is yes, he got the save over the weekend when Blake Parker really, really struggled. But the reason I didn't want to like bid any more than that
sociopath
dollar was, yes, Mike's sociopath. But also, Ken Bedrosian already had pitched in that game. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like they could just turn to Bedrosian. I think if they do make a change, it'll probably still be him.
That wasn't the first time either. Bedrosian already pitched the seventh earlier in the week as well.
Right. You're right. Exactly. So that makes me feel
better. Middleton is a guy that was like a stealth sleeper in early preseason drafts,
okay,
and stuff like that. Like, the opportunity at some point could arose.
Right.
I didn't think he was getting saved the first weekend of the year.
Sure.
It makes you feel better how, Greg?
I'm sorry?
Well, you said that makes me feel better.
That Bedrosian already pitched, meaning like they went away from Parker. Like the times that Middleton went in, correct me if I'm wrong, Jake. Middleton went in, he relieved Blake Parker because he stunk, right?
Right.
So to me, if they were going to make a change at the closer position, they would go to Bedrosian. The only reason they couldn't in the games they already had, he already pitched.
No, that's what I was saying. I don't think so, because they used Bedrosian in the seventh in an earlier game. That wasn't the first time they've done this already.
But the odds are they wouldn't have used Middleton in that game if they didn't have to. You know,
I understand that, but I don't. Yeah. What I'm saying is, I don't think they're I don't think he's necessarily turning to Cam. That's my point. Is okay. I think that you have used him twice already in the seventh inning. That's my concern.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Bedrosian might. They might try to make him
Andrew Miller. Like
Andrew Miller, Archie
That's
Bradley
what everybody's
guy.
Trying to do.
It's true.
I'm the never Jim Johnson guy, but I got to feel like at some point he's going to be in the mix of saves. He's going to at least end up with a handful of saves somehow, some way. But I'm still not going to own Jim Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the Jim Johnson.
I will
thing
not
either.
Be fabbing Jim Johnson.
All right, Matt, let me throw it out to you. In your leagues here, who's a guy that, other than Hunter Strickland, that you were really interested in getting and finding out what the prices
it's
were?
It's more of just a pure spec. If things were to go right and he gets the at-bats, a Tyler Austin for the Yankees.
Yep.
You know, with Greg Bird being out, if they decide to just give him the opportunity to run with this, for the most part, if he's on the plus side of a platoon, it's an interesting one. You know, if Andujar was available, people were bidding on him.
So I thought the Yankee situation, Jake, was really tough to figure out and navigate. So that's why I didn't do it, right? Like, so Tyler Austin's the starting first baseman. Except when he's not, and then Neil Walker starts. And then, with all the injuries the Yankees have gone through with Billy McKinney and Aaron Hicks, then it was like, all right, Neil Walker starts at first, and then Miguel Andujar starts at DH. Well, Jacoby Ellsbury could be back as soon as Thursday, and you're like, this is all a mess. I'm going to bid a bunch of fab on a guy that may not even be in the majors necessarily come Thursday. I thought it was really tough to navigate.
Yeah, I wasn't going much on Andujar anyway. If Andujar was more of a 15-teamer where you're not allowed to pick up people before they make Major League roster, that's somewhere where I would have stashed him because now you're ahead of the game. If anything happens in June and then he does get the permanent call-up. But I wasn't – actually, somebody asked me that on Twitter as well. The same thing. This guy could be down – right back down as soon as Ellsbury's back. I'm looking at the Tout Wars right now because that's only 12 team, the one that we're in. And some of the bigger ones was Neil Walker. That makes sense. Neil Walker went for a decent amount there since the change, since he was drafted, and Lewis Brinson as well. So in your smaller leagues where maybe those guys are still floating out there as well, those are some names that people might be looking at.
The Yankee I would love to see really get the at-bats in the playing time here is Tyler Wade. Drury played well this weekend. He just missed a home run. He hit one, but he just missed another one at the top of the wall. And this is a guy that had the biggest difference in OPS from home road last year. So the Yankees said they really, you know, liked him and they thought he could do really good things for him. So it looks like Drury's pretty locked in right now. But I'd like to see Wade. He's got some speed. I think he can offer a few different things for them. But there's a lot of moving pieces right now.
Yeah, there certainly is. A guy that I was really interested in getting, I don't think we got him anywhere, was Derek Dietrich of Miami. Mm-hmm. Both Dietrich and his teammate.
Thank you.
You're welcome. His teammate.
No, I'm interested. Go ahead.
Dietrich and his teammate, Brian Anderson, I think both really stood out
Friday,
to me.
What did I say? You, Brian Anderson.
You 1,000% said that on a Friday. And the thing that Dietrich, and I think, Jake, you were saying it before the season started, Dietrich batting at the top of the Marlins lineup, right behind, I believe, two, behind Lewis Brinson, playing every day, the multi-eligibility that he has, it really interested me. And unfortunately, in this league again, we bid $4 on him. He went for $6. It was like, oh, man, that's really frustrating. I think Ronas got him, which is even more annoying. but, yeah, I really like Derek Dietrich. And then Brian Anderson, a popular guy. We bid on him in all our leagues. I think we got him in all of our leagues. We bid, like, $3. We got him. So, like, we thought we were pretty pumped up about that. Jake, I guess judging by what you were saying, you're kind of in on Dietrich, too.
That's the thing. I kept saying it the entire spring training. The fact is, 15-60-60 is probably the floor for this guy, and he could easily probably get you 20-70-plus, 70-plus for the fact that he also has multi-position eligibility, that you're going to get outfielder and infielder eligibility depending on where you need him, the fact that he's going to play every single day. I saw people not even ranking him at first base. I understand we're now in a day and age where 15 home runs means very little, if anything at all, but 15 to 20 and 70 and 70 runs in RBI still matter some, especially if you're in 15-team leagues. 15-team leagues, he's going to be a corner infielder or a fifth outfielder. I don't understand why everybody's just like, oh, he doesn't even exist.
You know, I mean, he's like what you'd call, say, the poor man's utility guy. He's going to be all over the place, and if he gains the eligibility in multiple positions, you know, outfield, second base, play some first base, whatever, you know, That's going to benefit you, like Jake said, especially in a 15-team league where you need to move people around with injuries. And we saw
most places he's already got second and third, to your point, Matt.
I mean, look, this week, Aaron Hicks already down.
Sure.
I mean, there's guys, you know, like, if you're trying to, like, if you drafted a Kuna or you're trying to stash, like, a Walker Buehler on your team, you really, it's tough in these leagues with the small benches to be able to have that without the flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was looking at my team earlier this weekend, and Jose Ramirez is my starting second baseman, and he didn't play, like, Saturday or Sunday.
I'll give a guy to keep an eye on, especially this week. I mean, I would be playing him every day at third base if I was the Padres. And hopefully he gets the at-bats, is Corey Spangenberg. This is a guy that can do 15-15, play all over the place, hit you probably like around 270-ish or something like that. He's only 27 years old, so I'm hoping Spangenberg does get the playing time.
All right. Corey Spangenberg, definitely a guy. Keep on that watch list, see if he can get to the playing time. Certainly the Yankees, a team I'm going to watch as well, as I said before. Speaking of the Yankees, they were rained out for their opening day here in New York City. It was supposed to be
snowed out,
true. That's technically true.
They played in the snow on opening day.
96.
Mets got snowed out, too.
I was getting there. The Yankees were snowed out here in their opening day game against the Rays. It'll be made up tomorrow, 4 p.m. And then the Mets, this was weird to me. So they were snowed out tonight. It's not snowing. It's beautiful outside. And it's not supposed to snow the rest of the day. So I get maybe there's just too much snow on the ground and the seats to clean off. Fine. But it's not snowing.
Matt Harvey's a fair weather pitcher.
Is Matt Harvey going to pitch still?
I'm sure he'll pitch, yeah.
He will pitch tomorrow?
Yeah, they already announced he's pitching tomorrow.
Because the Rays are announced that they're not going with their bullpen.
Well, yeah, I would go with Archer over Pruitt.
That's fine.
Who I have on many draft champions.
No, the Mets are making this up as far as a doubleheader in July.
July, yeah, saw that. All right, let's take a break here, guys. When we come back, there was a little bit of an uproar in my league earlier today, and I wanted to bring it up because we count wins and we count quality starts, and people are annoyed now. I'll explain why when we come back. It's FST on FNTSY.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm ready to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots. I'm talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
It's Carton and Friends!
Grant Hill's not a Hall of Fame basketball player. Grant Hill's one of the most disappointing pros of the last 25 years, considering he's a compiler.
Seven-time NBA All-Star.
Which means nothing.
It means nothing.
He's an All-Star based on his college.
He averaged 16 points a game.
If you're a scorer and you average 16 points a game for your career, how are you possibly a Hall of Famer?
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Matt and I just talking some fantasy baseball follies from Friday, specifically watching, for me, in a league where I have both Shane Green and Felipe Rivera, watching them both melt down simultaneously. What a disaster that was. Speaking of Felipe Rivera, the Pirates off to a 1-0 lead over the Twins. Greggy Polanco with an RBI double to deep center, which brought in Josh Harrison pitching today, Jameson Taillon for the Pirates, and Lance Lynn in his debut against the Twinkies.
I'm not a Lance Lynn guy, so but I'm going to be rooting for that. I don't really own Taillon, I don't think really anywhere, but I'm going to root for him. He's not a guy that I didn't like, but where he was going, I was either drafting other pitchers or other positions at the time. But for what he was able to do last year and, you know, with the whole cancer situation, you got to root for a guy like that.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of starting pitching, specifically Taillon and Lance Lynn, so there's a bit of an uproar in my league this morning, saying we got to get rid of the wins category and we got to get rid of the quality starts category. Now, you hate the quality starts category, mm-hmm. Matt, and I know that.
I'm not like the biggest lover of wins neither, but I think it's just better.
So we have both. We have both in our league. And there was an uproar about both of them today because after the first 4 days of baseball, so many pitchers are pitching 4 innings, 5 2/3. Like, I can't tell you how many bottom lines I saw or full screen graphics on MLB Network of guys just pitching 4 and 5 2/3.
There's a but here, too. It's also the opening weekend
Definitely.
In March, and people, you know, they're going to protect these pitchers a lot more, cold weather and stuff like that. First time. I know there is, don't want to face the third time around. A guy like Aaron Nola should face the team a third time around. He is an ace. He needs to be treated like an ace. 68 pitches is ludicrous. This guy's going to kill his bullpen by May at this rate.
Jake, what do you put into this 5 2/3 nonsense? Because we've seen a lot of it.
I think it's twofold. It is what Matt said. It's the opening weekend. It's going to be, you're going to get people not going deep into games unless you are that somebody that's built up that strength to begin with. Somebody who was already a pitcher that probably goes 8 if they're having a good day on average. Not these, the problem is you're ticking back everybody an inning or two. So the guys that normally go 8 are like the 6 or 7. Well, all these guys that normally only go 6 innings to begin with are the ones that are going 4 and 5 because it is the beginning of the season. It is cold still in a lot of these places where they're pitching and playing. So it's just all those factors on top of it. Then you also have what baseball has become more nowadays, and more teams are relying more on their bullpens. They're asking pitchers, even quality pitchers that aren't the aces, all you need to do is go 6. We'll finish off the last 3. Just make it 6 for us. Some of these guys are just like, hey, just make it 5, and we've got the bullpen to back you up behind it. So it's all those things thrown in together. When it comes to fantasy, I'm not overreacting one way or another of like, oh my God, we got to change this or we got to change that, because you know that's how I feel about PPR is we changed it because we needed to make the situation different, and now the situation is already different on its own. So if you're going to do anything to change it in fantasy a week from now, the season's going to be moving along and fine, and you're going to have made a change that didn't matter.
To Jake's point about, you know, the 5 innings and we'll get to the bullpen or the 6, I don't think there are certain teams that do have these lockdown bullpens, like the Yankees, and you know, Houston's got a ton of guys they can throw out. Not all these teams have these lockdown bullpens. And that's why, like, I didn't get, like, before opening day, we're right, like, the day of opening, on opening day, when Gabe Kapler's like, we're going to use a committee here, number one. Hunter's a little banged up already. And Neeris is your guy right now. Don't even mess with his mind to begin with. But I don't think there's a high percentage of teams that really have all these arms. And as we see, a lot of these relievers, it's tough, too, from year to year. It varies. Like, 1 year, guy's dominant. The next year, he's not. There are different situations, like I said. But for the most part, you know, I don't think it reigns consistent.
Matt has mentioned now a couple times Gabe Kapler and Philadelphia and what he did with Aaron Nola, which he spoke about on Friday, 68 pitches and whatnot. And, of course, over the weekend, yesterday or Saturday night, he brings in a reliever when he had none warming up, right? It's been a complete disaster for this bullpen. And for Gabe Kapler in his first couple of days here as a manager. But, Jake, what concerns me is Gabe Kapler, and it's Hector Neris, and it's everything going on. Like, I want nothing to do with the Phillies right now. Are you in the same boat?
Not just what you mean for the closer situation?
The
or
closer,
for the Phillies in general?
The closer, the outfielders outside of like Rhys Hoskins. Like, I don't feel comfortable with anything.
No, I'm fine with it. I think we've already seen it. It's clear enough the fact that it's going to be Altair. Nick Williams is the one that you could drop in a lot of your leagues. This situation cleared itself up like we expected. He's playing mostly all the time. Reese Hoskins playing mostly. Odubel Herrera outside of that one day, which the explanation didn't make a ton of sense, but you know, we tried to break it down, and you had a decent theory behind it. But all that being said, it's Nick Williams looks like the odd man out, and the pitching situation is like this rotation never had that much behind Aaron Nola. Jared Eichhoff is now, you know, he's out, and he was arguably their second best pitcher. Velasquez shaky, Pivetta was shaky. The bullpen, you know, he went to them early, and he, like as Matt said, he's going to burn out if he continues to go down this route. But the pitchers were doing him no favors. I'm fine with the closer situation with Neris. I'm fine with the rest of everything that's out there hitter wise. I think you just have to know that this team wasn't going to have a ton of pitchers to deal with.
And just wait till Jake Arrieta arrives and throws 70 pitches in three innings.
Are you concerned?
That's going to happen as well.
Are you concerned by Hector Neris?
No, I think he's got to be the guy for them right now. Look, if he fails, they'll go to other options. And look, I don't want to hate on Gabe Kapler. I love advanced analytics and stuff. But you can't just manage everything off that. Sometimes you got to go with your gut in certain situations. And I think what he's trying to do is he's outsmarting himself.
Like. Sure.
You know, some people, sometimes, you know, you happen to do that because you want to prove something. And like I said, I am all for the analytics being used. I love it. I'm a stat head and all that. But what he's doing right now is, hey, look, it's his first weekend, so hopefully he learned from that. And, you know, we'll see how Philly goes from there.
Yeah, we will.
And real quick thing. That was the other thing why I went after Strickland so hard. Because in this climate, with all these closures, even proven guys from last year, and you're hearing the manager say, well, you know, we're going to use a committee and stuff. Bochy, once Melanson was ruled out for opening day.
Without hesitation,
named Strickland. Maybe Dyson, maybe Watson. He went and said, Strickland's our guy.
I love that. And that's why, I was talking about this on Friday. That's why I love Hunter Strickland so much. Because he went out and said, listen, this is my guy. And Hunter Strickland pitches a lot like he did Friday, Saturday, or whatever. He's not going to lose the job either.
But who are the other guys there? Watson, who I think he was a closer in Pittsburgh, and he had really good skills a couple of years ago. The skills have declined. Last year, he was better. I will say that. But I don't think he's the closer type. And Dyson, he got better in San Francisco last year, but I mean, it was god-awful in Texas. And he's not the guy neither.
It's Hunter Strickland.
Strickland was supposed to be the guy a couple of years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
And the fact that he worked out the offseason with John Smoltz.
Yep. No, absolutely.
There's many positives, the way I look at it.
Well, I completely agree with you. So we talked a lot so far about the Angels, about the starters going in, 844-843-6879. Let's talk about some of the injuries that have happened. What is going on in Atlanta, Jake? These catchers are just flying.
Oh, that's the end of your... I thought there was more to your question than that.
No, they're flying. They're just flying on to the shelves, basically.
Yeah, there's flying. I was waiting for what the rest of the sentence was. What do you want me to tell? I don't know why they're getting hurt, but this is just more proof to the thing that I've always said. This is why I hate two catchers. The fact is, I'm not saying the DL is why I hate two catchers. My point being is just like you're already dredging the bottom when you're talking about the Flowers of the world, and now we've already lost both of them. And we lost another catcher just yesterday too.
Matt Wieters went down.
Yeah, Matt Wieters. I mean, like it's the fact that you're not even getting replacement value like you can at the other positions. You're getting so subpar replacement value that, as I always say, you're putting a negative value player in your lineup, and it's just frustrating.
And for me, on a couple of teams, I have Flowers and Suzuki behind the plate because I want all those at bats.
Right.
If you combine those two players last year, it was a hell of a catcher. It was 30 plus homers, and I'm getting all the at bats as opposed to saying having Flowers and whoever, Matt Wieters or somebody like that. So I really got screwed this weekend.
Yeah, it did not go well for you.
I feel like Jake put the Maloik on me.
Yeah, catcher.
Tell me as a Mets fan. Didn't you chuckle at least a little bit over the weekend where you're saying, hey, the Yankees now know what it feels like to be a Mets fan?
No, I don't get it. What do you mean? With Darren Hickson?
They've had like six injuries already.
Yeah, but see, the problem is the Yankees are just so damn deep. Like, they could bring up Torres and Andujar. Like, I'll say this, and I probably say it every single year. If Cespedes stays healthy, he's going to kill it. But, you know, that's the biggest if ever.
Yeah, that is the biggest if ever. It's funny. So in the BFF league, we had a big argument. Who do we draft? You had a Cespedes and Lorenzo Cain, and both are off to these amazing starts.
Yeah, well, both were very good.
So we're
both were.
You want to go back to the player that you were complaining about opening day? You only had four hits the very next day.
But if I feel like he hasn't gotten a hit since.
Oh my God!
What about Lewis Brinson?
Lewis Brinson, what, did we go 4 for 5 or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, all singles. 4 for 8.
Unless Greg Splaire goes 3 for 4 every day, he wants to drop him.
Yeah, you do like to cut quick.
I do for sure, honestly. You know what my man
is? I didn't see it like in a Yahoo league, a 12-team daily moves league. That I think is...
That's what I mean.
It's acceptable to be more, you know, playing matchups and stuff
Thank
like that.
You.
But you got to keep your core guys. Like
I tell you, that's why I absolutely love Gregory Polanco.
Yeah,
he's hit every time up.
Polanco did fall a little too far this year. And even like Lorenzo Cain and Cespedes that you just mentioned, they were priced wrong too. I mean, I can see with Cespedes why he was 7th, 8th. Earlier on, he was probably 8th round, and then he creeped into the 6th but because of the injuries. But, I mean, Cain, 2 of the last 3 years, when healthy, got 600 plate appearances, 300 batting average, at least 15 homers, 26 or more stolen bases.
I just read this, by the way, unrelated to fantasy baseball. I know Jake's not going to be interested in talking about it, but I got to ask you about it, Matt. It's extremely important. So Fox 29 in Philly has said, the dangerous social media challenge has reemerged, and with it, every parent's worst nightmare. Do you know what this new challenge is?
Well, I don't think they're doing the Tide Pod.
No, we're done with that now.
Yeah, we're done with that. I don't know, but I don't think children should be voting. I think they should be voting at 21, actually.
Unrelated.
Well, we're going in topic about...
I was going about condom snorting.
Condom snorting?
Condom snorting.
Well, I mean, I think I'd rather snort a Tide Pod.
I would rather do that, too. According to this article, condom snorting is a dangerous practice that involves...
But, like, what are you doing? Let me read it.
Inhaling a rubber condom up one's nose so that it can be fished out through the mouth. Okay. The whole thing is recorded and uploaded to YouTube.
But why? Like...
Can we talk about Colin Moran just getting a grand slam? How about that?
He's in a grand slam? Oh, Colin Moran! Joe Musgrove goes into the DL, but the other player...
Maybe
he
snorted a condom.
Maybe he snorted a condom and then they hit the grand slam. The other player...
Off to a good start.
...traded away in the Garrett Cole deal. Joe Musgrove goes on the DL, but Colin Moran hits a grand slam for the Pirates. They go up 5-0. Lance Lynn is not even out of the first yet.
I own 0 shares. But I'm sure you're happy that Joe Musgrove went on the DL. You've turned.
I don't want him to be hurt.
You've turned the worm has turned.
I don't own him anywhere, but I don't want him to be hurt. You know, that's not nice.
It was an ominous sign in spring training when, the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. So evidently, by the way, this condom inhalation started in like 2004.
I've never heard of it before.
Neither have I. This is...
Is it a European thing? Maybe Florio's out there snorting condoms.
Maybe that's what it is.
In Europe.
Jake, do you have any interest in commenting on this?
None whatsoever.
I just got to make sure. Condom snorting. Brand new. From the makers of the Tide Pod Challenge comes the condom snorting.
Trust Trojans.
All right. Yesterday, for the Reds, we saw Billy Hamilton led off the game. Finally got a hit. I finally did a little bit of something. Jesse Winker did not play. Jake, is this going to be a case of when Jesse Winker does not play, Billy Hamilton lead off, or should we get used to Billy Hamilton back in the leadoff spot?
Well, on the side note real quick, Jorge Soler, 410 feet to dead center for an out, unfortunately. On the side note there, yeah. This is what we expected. That's what I said last week, is when Winker sits, Hamilton's going to be lead off. When Winker's playing, he's lead off, and Hamilton's way down at ninth place. So I mean, that's really just what it's going to come down to. But you didn't draft Billy Hamilton hoping that, you know, he was going to score a ton of runs. You were doing it for the stolen bases, which is why he's always been overdrafted. Actually, if you look at his final rank at the end of every season, he is overranked. He's overplayed every single season. The fact is, if you want the steals, it's understandable. That's what you're drafting him for. There's very few players, maybe 3, that can steal 60 bases, and he's one of them. All that being said, is this just going to just throw, you know, more water onto that to dampen his value if he's getting the ninth place batting average or batting spot when Winker's in there and when not? But it sounds like what I was speculating at the beginning, it definitely could change. Heck, it could change by the end of this month. But it sounds like it's going to be Billy Hamilton played the most, and it's going to be Winker, Duvall, and Schebler, with Duvall likely being the least.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to do our first hip-hip Jorge for Soler.
No, we did not.
It was an out. Yeah. For me, the guy that I think is the most exciting Reds outfielder this season is Scott Schebler. I do like him. He did get hurt last year and kind of tailed his derailed that second half a bit. But the only, like, for me with Billy Hamilton, I will only draft him in the overall leagues that I play in. In an overall, he's valuable because you never have enough stolen bases. But this is a guy that the Reds should have traded in the offseason. I thought he was going to get traded all along, and it just didn't happen. So maybe it will at some point.
Yeah, ultimately we'll see. We were close in the offseason, I think, but just never happened there.
I thought the Giants, even the Yankees would have been nice. I know the Yankees got a lot of guys. But
yeah, Yankees got a lot of guys.
Real quick, Greg, for you, back to Lance Lynn.
Yes,
Vlad Sedler just tweeted this. Not sure what it is with Lance Lynn and PNC Park, but since 2012, 9 games started, a 6.49 ERA and a 1.91 whip in PNC.
Mm. He's eating too much Primanti Brothers.
That's probably what it is.
I've only had it like once or twice. It's so damn delicious.
Oh, man, Nick Castellanos got out. I feel like him and Gregory Polanco, for me, have just been getting on base nonstop.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, for the Tigers, I mean, Miggy looked real good this
really
weekend.
Really healthy. Oh, they're 0-3, but Miggy looks great.
Yeah, no, he looks healthy. Castellanos was hitting well.
Yep, and walking, seeing the ball.
My AL team, Dixon Machado, is, you know, slapping that ball around. I know Nando's proud of him.
Absolutely. Getting the start today at shortstop, by the way, Nico Goodrum.
Oh, how about Jordan Zimmermann with 8 strikeouts? On opening day.
Wasn't he?
Look, I wrote that guy off for dead. And he probably is dead, but
I'll stand by that.
It, you know, 8 strikeouts, you know, it gives you some little look at him.
Oh, man. I was going to say, you know what the best feeling is, Jake, is when you, like, look at to see in your league who has Lance Lynn as your opponent. That did not just happen to me, but I was really hoping it did. It did not happen.
Are you one of the people, like, say if you bid on Hunter Strickland last night and you lost that, now you're just rooting against him in all.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So you're like every other
And then you're in leagues like labor where you have to build off that ERA for the next 2 weeks to make up for it. Thanks.
That's brutal, right? That's brutal. That's why, like, so for me, when Shane Green and Felipe Rivero get rocked on Friday, I'm like, I'm screwed. But, you know, it's a week.
I mean, Lance Lynn will be fine. I mean, for what the Twins got him for, it was a smart deal for them.
Yeah, 100%. Let's take a break. Let's come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the BFFs. Let's chat about Shohei Ohtani's MLB debut. Let's talk about Michael Conforto on the way back. And some of the other starts that really stood out to us this past weekend. Stick around. There's so much more on FST, on FNTSY.
What if I could tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
If you want Machado to hit third because you want him to drive in runs because Chris Davis strikes out too much, well, how does that work then if you put Chris Davis up first and he doesn't get on base?
And I wouldn't put Davis first. They don't have anybody. That's the bottom line. They don't have anybody. But still, I'm not putting Chris Davis there because he doesn't put the ball in play. And if he's going to strike out, he doesn't walk a lot. He's certainly not going to steal any bases. Can't really run. He's more of a base clogger.
Saturdays from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. FNTSY.com/radio.
Thanks. I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, yes.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
We're talking trash.
Sweet, sweet trash.
How about the fans chanting overrated right before Bryce Harper deposited his second home run of the game to straightaway center field?
It's like the ultimate comeback. I love it. I love when athletes get just on by fans and they just back it up that way.
There was never reasonable expectations for this kid as a player. And the one stat that forever haunts him is that in all the years that Bryce Harper's played baseball, he's never had a 100 RBI season.
He had 99 RBIs one year.
That drives me nuts.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
So Matt and I were just talking. Of course, I've been talking all morning or all afternoon about Greg Polanco. Greggy. So he was just telling me, in his league, Gregory Polanco was dropped. Is your mic on? You're just talking to me.
Nope. I pulled the cord.
I was like, I hear you so clearly, but then you're just talking to me.
Yeah, Vlad just tweeted out in one of his online championships, I guess. Somebody picked up Eduardo Escobar, dropped Gregory Polanco. So I'm assuming they had to be thinking it was Jorge Polanco.
So in that scenario, what happens?
For me, that should stay. You're responsible.
I agree.
Like, I had to go back and make sure on all my Hunter Strickland bids, I didn't have everybody else at $367.
Right.
Because if I missed on him and I got, you know, some $5 guy for $300, I would have been screwed.
It's on you.
So it should stand. Maybe the person's going to make the plea that, you know, I would have never dropped this guy. Unless he's got Jorge Polanco on his team. I don't know. For me, it should stand, though.
Jay, what about you in that situation?
Oh, yeah, it should definitely stand. You can't look. The fact is, my question is, what the hell is the guy doing in the league who doesn't, you know, he's got that kind of money to just toss away because obviously he doesn't know what he's doing. The fact is, there's no confusing Gregory Polanco and Jorge Polanco, even if he owns Jorge Polanco. Like, I don't understand what kind of owner is doing that with his team. That all being said, as Matt put the point out, you can't just, for the sake of a worse part of it, it's the same thing as a trade and you're trying to block in a league saying you shouldn't make that trade because this is so bad for you. We're basically saying we're smarter than the person, which it's obvious in this case, but at the same time, you can't reverse a move because the person's an idiot.
And as you mentioned, Colin Moran hit that grand slam, as Jake said earlier. A lot of tweeting about Colin Moran now I'm seeing on Twitter. Everybody's like, yeah, I have him, or I just picked him up.
I called that one.
Yeah, shut the hell up. It's like, the, you know, Matt, you saw this too over the week. It's like the fact that like everybody in the spring training is like, oh my God, I'm so down though. I don't want Ohtani anymore, blah, blah. The first inning, oh my God, look at Ohtani, 99 miles an hour. It's so amazing. Second inning, oh, he's struggling again. Shut the freaking hell up. Everybody's on Colin Moran, hasn't made a peep so far to this date. I have people asking me on Twitter, why would you recommend Colin Moran? Like, hold off. It's three freaking games. And as you said, Matt, now everybody's like coming out of the woodwork. Oh, yeah, I was talking about Colin Moran.
Yeah, and I'm so all annoying for people like rooting for their players right now because this is not confirmation bias, as I tweeted out the other day, on opening day or any day in April. But, you know, the thing about Ohtani here was, I got him, I think, in the second draft I did. So that's probably like the end of November. And I got him in the seventh round.
Right.
And then after that, he was just too expensive. But the last week or two in the NFBC, I know for sure, he fell. He was like, I think the highest he might have went for in the auction was like $11. And Spora got him in the main in the 10th round in our main. And I bought him for $9 in my biggest auction. I drafted him in one of my biggest leagues because he was falling in the ninth round and stuff. And it's a guy that still has this, you know, at least top 30, if not top 20. And the one thing I think was Jeff Passan who tweeted it out yesterday, and I kind of quoted it, and I said, the box score is irrelevant. It's this. It's all the swinging strikes he got yesterday. He let up a home run. I mean, who doesn't allow homers now? Everybody. Thor let up two on opening day. So, but all those swing and misses, the velocity, you know, the pitch mix that he has. So if this kid can stay healthy and he gets anywhere 140 innings or more. I mean, 150 to 160 is ideal, but anything north of 140, he's going to be a steal. That's why you don't look at spring training for that. And look at Dylan Bundy, who had like a 7 ERA, but they gave him the opening day start because of what he did last year. And look, he was masterful. And that slide piece that had 25% whip percentage last year was just as dominant on opening day.
We drafted Shohei Ohtani as our fifth starting pitcher, and we felt very, very comfortable with that.
Yeah, what do you have to lose?
Exactly. Yeah. So I watched a lot of that game yesterday, and he was filthy, and he let us with the home run, worked it, in and out of trouble a little bit. But I thought it was a promising debut overall, Jake, for sure.
For Ohtani, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the location on that pitch that gave up the home run wasn't even that bad. It was a little bit over the middle of the plate, but it wasn't awful. It was a decent pitch. That'd be like, there's a lot of pitchers that get away with a lot worse than like the pitch as it could. But if you looked at it today, he's like what you saw. There's some mistakes, but you're going to get him adjusting to the majors. The same thing we said through spring. I opened it immediately. I said it on Twitter, but that was because I thought that Ohtani had the upside to be a top 15 and 20 pitcher. I pushed him down to the mid 20s. We had the discussion about it on this very show. I just pushed him down. But that group of pitchers that he's in is still the same group, and it's still such a tight knit group of quality top-end pitchers. I mean, we're talking about like Quintanas of the world and stuff like that. I still had like him better than Tanaka. You know how much I hate Tanaka. There was a little bit of concern to come back a little bit that he wasn't going to adjust to the major leagues, that, you know, he could go down the Arabu route and all the rest of them that didn't succeed. But at the same time, the stuff is good enough that we've kept them up there, at least to supporters like Matt and myself and others that like kept them up there. You just can't overreact to spring training a little bit too much. There was a legitimate concern, and you moved him down slightly, but the people who dropped him down to, as Matt said, where he was going late in drafts for that final week, those are the people that way overreact to things that happen in spring every year.
And like this first weekend, I'm very encouraged by your time. That's what you wanted to see after that spring training. But Carlos Martinez, to me, is still going to be a top 15 pitcher or top 20 at worst. The guy's done it the last three seasons. Quintana had a bad outing. Paxton got rocked. I mean, there was so many. Garrett Cole was phenomenal. Might have had one of the best performances, him and like Jose Barrios, might have had the best performances of the weekend. And you feel good about that. But that's definitely not confirming it that, you know, this is going to be. One, they got to stay healthy, and they got to pitch throughout the season. So one start's not going to make or break anybody, or really even move the needle too much for me. Yeah, I was thrilled that Garrett Cole had a fantastic outing. I've said he's the arm to own in Houston. I could be wrong with that, but I think it is. I think he's 27. He's in the right organization. Spin to win is the motto of the pitching coach there. So if he goes with the route of these other pitchers that have decreased the fastball all usage down to more like 50% instead of 60 to 65%, and use the secondary offense, which is what they do in Houston, it could be big. But he could also get injured, and he could also put up a 4 ERA this year. There are all those outcomes available.
All right, we're, of course, listening, watching Fantasy Sports Network. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're going to say goodbye to the video for now. BFFs, of course, will be live on video in a few moments, about 10 minutes away. If you're listening to the podcast, we're hanging out for another 10 minutes
or so. I've
yet
to ever be invited on to BFFs, by the way.
Would you like to hang out today?
You're saying I've never been. Well, it's a last-minute invite. I don't know.
You don't want the last-minute invite. You want to be a featured guest.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you like to be a featured guest today?
Possibly.
That's up to you. All right, Jake. Other stuff from this weekend before we get going. Your boy, Gio Gonzalez, Washington Nationals. What do you think?
I don't understand why people are hating him so much. I understand that last year was pretty much a career year late in the stage of the game, but even if he slid back and regressed some, I don't think he was going to regress back to the worst that he saw, because you could say those were the career worst year that he had. So I think people just were so off on saying there's no way Gio's going to repeat last year, which is true. And I think some people went so far with that that they pushed him down to like the SP7-8 range. And to be honest with you, Gio Gonzalez, even adding a full run to his ERA for last year, guess what? Still a 3 ERA, still a quality pitcher, still somebody who gets the strikeouts, still at SP5 in most leagues. I don't know why people want to jump so far off of Gio Gonzalez.
I'm not a Geo guy, but I'll agree with Jake on that. I think the market corrected itself a little. I think early on he was a little too high for my liking. I don't have Geo anywhere. I think he's more of that 4 ERA kind of guy, a little above it. Anything under the 4 is fine. And if he gets you to strikeouts and stuff, I do think everything went right. Like, it was kind of the perfect storm. But like Jake said, where he was going and how he got moved, where he got moved to, I thought was, you know, it was a right price. If you like Geo and stuff, you were getting a pretty good deal there. Can I say one thing? One of the guys I saw this weekend who, I mean, I did draft a lot, but, you know, you haven't really seen him pitch all the last year. It was sporadic. Was Aaron Sanchez versus the Yankees. It was an ugly line.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done, the line was ugly. But that dude's a hell of a pitcher, and he is fun to watch pitch again.
So you're buying Aaron Sanchez, then?
I bought him, and it's not that it's confirmation bias, because even if it would have been a great start, I wouldn't still like, oh, yeah, he's there. It was a bad start. But you could see the guy, his ability went on the mound. So.
Yeah, I think I saw the same thing. Of course, he got bombed, but I saw the same thing.
But it
thing.
Was sort of funny. Like, he was handling Stanton. Like, he had Stanton, but it was guys like Drury and Billy McKinney.
Sure.
And those were the guys that were inflicting the damage on him.
Sure, absolutely. Speaking of the AL East, speaking of Jose Berríos as well, in that game with Berríos, it was like a 6-0 game. One-hitter.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Berríos was kind of just continuing on into the ninth inning, and Chance Sisko laid down a bunt to get on base. He's down 6 runs. He laid down a bunt. I didn't think twice about it.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I can't believe Doge even made that cut. First off, don't shift. If you're going to shift,
let's explain what the comment was.
Brian Doge said, you know, I know they got a lot of veterans in that locker room. I'm sure they'll talk to Chance about bunting. In that situation, it was a 6-0 game. Berríos had had a one hitter going. So first off, don't shift on him. And you know, look, they got to get base runners on. You're still going to try and play to win the game and get on. And I know nobody bunts. I like bunts in very certain situations. And at that point in the game, you need a base runner. So yeah, whatever you got to do, you know, if you got to lean into one, you got to lean into one. So I think Dozier has backtracked those comments today on Twitter because it was just
stupid.
It was foolish.
Yeah, Jake.
Yeah, look. Here's the thing: is you know me, and you know I'm one of the biggest proponents for not bunting when you have a no hitter going on. And if you're that being clear, when it's late in the game and you're down by a ton, I'm one of the people who don't. I say,
I'll
you know
agree
what,
with
if
that.
You're
Jake.
Get on
I'll
base,
agree with that. If it's like 6-0 in the ninth and no hitter,
right. And that I will argue that, and I'm like I said, I'm saying that because I am one of the biggest arguments for that. Like I always have been, I always will be. All that being said, I'm putting that out there because there was nothing wrong with it. Because Matt already mentioned was going to be my point. If it's not, if you're going to play it like it means something. So basically, let's go back to the first part of it. In a 6-0 game with a no hitter going on, the reason it means something is you're trying to preserve the no-hitter. In a 6-0 game, in most 6-0 games in the ninth inning, you're just playing out there like it doesn't mean anything because you're just trying to finish out the game. They played the shift, to Matt's point, because that, to you, tells you they're still taking it seriously. Well, if they're still taking it seriously, Chance Sisko is taking it seriously, like bunting to the giant hole that you created by playing the shift. So don't play the shift you can't have it both ways. Not to mention the fact it wasn't a no-hitter. He already had one hit, so what the hell does it even matter?
That was the craziest thing. It wasn't even a no-hitter.
To me, look, some people were like, he shouldn't have went out there for the ninth inning anyway. And I kind of get that, but I like the fact that he went out there, got that complete game. That, you know, people will discard that and think it's nothing. It really is something. And for a guy who last year had terrible home road splits, to go into Coors East, Camden Yards, and do what he was able to do and get that complete game. I think that's a huge confidence
boost. I agree. I agree with that. A guy that definitely had his ups and downs.
Can we talk about the flip side, though?
Go right ahead.
Kevin Gaughan, baby Gaughan, Gausman.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to take Gausman in trash this year at times. I just couldn't do it. I was a Bundy believer. But Gausman is just, it's so tough. And I do think there's talent here. And I'm not going to write him off for the rest of the season. But if you own Gausman, it is just so tough. Because I remember in my AL only this year, I had to bench him. And then when he made those adjustments, He was really good. It just wasn't the opening game you were hoping for.
No, of course, you know, of course not. And it was a disaster. I mean, from the first inning on, it was just bombs away on Kevin Gausman on this weekend here, Jake.
I didn't really watch much of that game, but I've never been a huge fan of Kevin Gausman just because of that, because he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think he made substantial changes last year, and you saw it. It looked evident. But I, like I said, I just couldn't get myself to do it. There were all just other arms. Like, I wanted Aaron Sanchez. I wanted Dylan Bundy. Just other guys I wanted. And look, he may very well figure it out again. I think there's talent there, but it was just not the...
Do you think Michael Conforto comes back this week, Met fans?
Sounds like it. Sounds like he's coming.
Does he stay healthy into next week, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah,
for me, though, for the Mets, it should be Yo, Conforto, Nemo, and or Nemo, however you want to say it, and Jay Bruce at first base. That is the lineup.
That's the best lineup.
Should be. And
well, it makes the most sense. I completely agree. But saying the same thing. I think Salfino's been on the same page.
It makes too much sense.
Absolutely makes the most sense.
I don't know.
It does, but yet we've already seen Lagares. We've seen Lagares and Flores against righties.
I heard something that he was under the weather, Nemo. Because, I mean, if the guy's going to start off, look, he's showing he has on-base skills.
That was yesterday.
So, if he was sick, that's one thing. It was, you know.
But 2 days ago, it was a righty, and they still had Lagares in there.
Yeah, there was
so,
no reason
like, that's
to
what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, I'm with you. I was very disappointed, but, you know, he's another guy that.
Not only that, Mickey Callaway's supposed to be an analytics guy. And the fact is Jay Bruce was 1-for-28 with 12 strikeouts going, or 1-for-26 or whatever it was, going into that game. And he's in the lineup over that. I mean, at least bench him and start Nimmo again against a righty. He's supposed to be an analytics guy. I don't know what the hell he was doing.
I don't know. That's really analytics, just looking at 1-for-26 with 12 strikeouts. I think that's an even.
But that's, I mean, I'm looking at it. Whether you believe pitcher versus batter matchup, that's pretty telling. I mean, 1-for-28 with 12 strikeouts.
That's a huge sample.
Is to say, you know what? Maybe you get it. We want to get everybody in. We'll play Wilmer Flores today or something.
Right. I'm with you guys.
But isn't it beautiful to be talking baseball?
How about that? Tonight, Nova, Michigan is your national championship game, college basketball. Who you got, Matt?
Just a gene. No. Go Michigan. Look. Something different.
No blue.
Look, Villanova's won it recently. They're very good.
So you're going Michigan. Go blue.
I'm
going
to go.
Jake, who you got?
Oh, boy.
What was that?
You got Scotty music, though.
I'll take Nova tonight. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your baseball. MST will be back tomorrow. We'll do it all again then. For Matt Modica, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. I am Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Later.